So let's read from Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money on what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy, and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorns shall come up the cypress tree. And instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that will not be cut off. You may be seated. The everlasting covenant. That's what I've entitled this lesson this evening. As we look at Isaiah chapter 55, we're going to study this chapter tonight and think about three main things. First of all, in Isaiah 55, we have a message of invitation. Second, there's a message of repentance. And finally, a message of trust. If you think about that for just a moment, that is exactly the invitation that Jesus makes in the New Testament for those who are not part of God's family, who are not children of God, who are not Christians. That is exactly the message that Jesus uses when he preaches and teaches. Again, what is that message? It's a message of invitation to hear the message of the gospel. It is a message of repentance. To repent of sins, it is a message of trust to give yourself to the Lord in baptism in the New Testament. And so this outline that we have here in Isaiah 55 really sets the stage for what the plan of salvation is going to be in the New Testament. When we look at this verse 3 here, it says, "Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you." An everlasting covenant. You know, the old covenant was not intended to be everlasting. In fact, in several places in the Old Testament, God talks about how that covenant is going to come to an end. How that covenant was not perfect. How that covenant would cease. Jeremiah prophesies that there's going to be a new covenant. Jeremiah 31 verse 31. And here we see there's going to be an everlasting covenant. Daniel prophesies about how there's going to be a kingdom that's going to come one day. And it's going to be an everlasting kingdom. And so, in the Old Testament, we see these, these signs of something future that is coming. And all of those future signs point to one person. And that one person, of course, is the Messiah. The Messiah is a figure that is prophesied about in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, in 1 Samuel chapter 7, also even as far back as Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. He is a figure that is looked for by the Jews of the Old Testament. And in Daniel, we get a general idea of when he's going to come because of the kingdoms that were going to follow after the Babylonian Empire. And so we see that there is a general expectation in the New Testament, early in the New Testament, that the Messiah is about to come. But when we look back to Isaiah, we get more information on the Messiah than any other book in the Old Testament. In fact, this chapter, as well as the two previous chapters, talk about the Messiah. Chapter 53 discusses the Messiah's work in bearing our sins. Chapter 54 talks about the Messiah's work of reconciliation for the Gentiles and bringing the Gentiles into God's family, which was unheard of back in the time of Israel and also even in the New Testament times. You know, God had to convince Peter to even touch a Gentile so that he could baptize him there in Acts chapter 10. And he did that by sending the Holy Spirit upon the Gentiles to show, and if God can touch these people, then Peter and his brethren can touch these people too, you see? And that's basically what's going on there in Acts chapter 10. But as we think about Isaiah 55, this is a messianic prophecy of the Messiah's teaching, the Messiah's preaching, and what the message of the Messiah is going to be. And we see early on here a message of invitation, a message of repentance, and then finally a message of trust. Let's look at this chapter tonight in our Bible study and think about the Messiah's message of salvation. First of all, it is a message of invitation. Look at verses 1 and 2 here. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? What is being discussed here? There's an invitation to come and to get something, right? To come and get this water, to come and get this milk and wine and to buy and to eat, but it's at no charge. Well, who do you know that says come and eat and doesn't charge you for it, besides your own family at least, right? Well, of course, that's unheard of. Anywhere you go, if you sit down and eat, you're going to have to pay money for the meal that you get. And even in our own family, somebody has to pay money for that meal, right? But here is a free meal. Here is free drink. Here is free water. Here is free food. But you've got to come for it. You've got to take advantage of the opportunity to get it. And that's the invitation in this passage. And the indication here that it's without money and without price and it's not bread and food that doesn't satisfy like the stuff that we eat and put into our physical bodies, you know, that doesn't satisfy. It satisfies for a little bit, but then a little later, we're hungry again, aren't we? And we want something else to eat. We want something else to drink. It doesn't satisfy. But the food and the drink that God is talking about here, that the Messiah is going to give, is going to be of a different nature. Unlike physical things, it's going to be spiritual in nature, and it is going to satisfy. In John chapter 6 and verse 35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes on me shall never thirst. Never hunger and never thirst. Why is that? Because when we come to Jesus and we learn His will and we practice it in our life, there is nothing else that we need. We're not going to be going to some other religion. We're not going to be going to some other place. We're not going to be going somewhere else to some other person to satisfy us. No, Jesus has it all. And that's the invitation that He gives. And He has it all because of who He is. Notice this invitation is spiritual in nature. Notice, secondly, that this invitation is mediated by the Messiah. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me, the Messiah says. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. Those who hear this message, who accept this great invitation, will obey the message and will live. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. This is the invitation that Jesus offers, and if we will accept it, He extends to us then the everlasting covenant. What is the everlasting covenant? It's the covenant that we find ourselves under today that is mediated by Jesus Christ. Jesus is that covenant, more or less. He's presented the message of the covenant in His Word, and we learn about it in the New Testament. But Jesus is the covenant in His person, in Himself. This is the blood of the covenant, He said, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Whose blood was it that was shed for the remission of sins? It was Jesus' blood. Jesus is the everlasting covenant. And through Him, then, He mediates for us. And He offers us this wonderful relationship with God. We read here, the sure mercies of David. That had significance to the Jewish people. Maybe we don't quite understand what that means in our culture today, the sure mercies of David. But the Jewish people knew what it meant. You see, God made a promise to David back there, and I believe in 2 Samuel chapter 7, that David, you know, said, well, I want to build the Lord a house. And one of the prophets, Nathan, I believe it was, went off and said, go ahead, David, build the Lord a house. And then the Lord came to Nathan and said, hold on just a minute, Nathan. I didn't ask David to build a house for me. And so Nathan had to go back to David and he had to explain that the Lord didn't ask to build a house for him. But then God said this through Nathan to David. He said, the Lord will build you a house. Now David understood that to mean his dynasty as a king. But that's not what the Lord meant. The Lord meant that He was going to build him a house, and that through him, that house was going to be established forever based upon the work of the Messiah, you see. So the sure mercies of David came to mean the work of the Messiah and the house that the Messiah was going to build. And that's what it means here in Isaiah 55. The sure mercies of David isn't David. The sure mercies of David is the Messiah. That's who it's talking about. Now, we know this because in Acts chapter 13 and verse 34 there, Paul, speaking by inspiration, said this about Jesus. That God raised Him up from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has spoken this. God has spoken this. And Paul, in Acts 13 and verse 34, quotes from Isaiah 55 and verse 3 right here. And he says, I will give you the sure mercies of David. What was Paul talking about when he quoted from this passage? He was talking about the resurrection of Jesus. And so the sure mercies of David have to do with Jesus. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the everlasting covenant. And notice what God says here through Isaiah in verse 4. Indeed, I have given Him as a witness to the people. This is Jesus He's talking about. This is the Messiah He's talking about. Not David, but the Messiah. I have given Him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. You know, Jesus is called a captain in the New Testament, the captain of your salvation. It talks about him in those terms. He is the leader. He is the commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you. And this is the invitation to all nations. The Messiah will call all the other nations to him through Israel. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Acts 2 and verse 39. And they will then run to the Messiah. Verse 5 tells us, all nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. And that's exactly what God did when he raised up Jesus from the dead. He glorified him. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Acts 3 and verse 13. God glorified Jesus. And so you see, this passage in Isaiah 55 is talking about the Messiah. The Messiah invites us to an everlasting covenant. What a beautiful message. But not only is this a message of invitation, it's also a message of repentance. What is the message of the Messiah? Come, hear, obey, but also repent. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. We can trust that this message of repentance is something that we need. We need to seek the Lord, repenting of our sins and turning to him. And the world needs this message. And Jesus preached this message. How many times does the message of the gospel say he went out and he preached what? You remember? He preached two things. The coming of the kingdom. The kingdom of the Lord is at hand. Repent and repent. Remember that? The coming of the kingdom and repentance. Over and over again. John the Baptizer preached that. Jesus preached that. That was the message. This is the message of repentance. Seek the Lord while he may be found. You know, there is a time when the Lord may be found. That time for us is right now. The time for those who have gone before is no more. But the time for us is right now. In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. When we listen to the message of repentance, we are exhorted to change. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. The times of ignorance God once winked at, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. Everyone is commanded to repent today. We are to repent of our ways and of our thoughts. Notice, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. These ways and these thoughts are the subject of this section of Isaiah 55. And the Lord is going to come back a little bit later on here in verses 8 and 9. And he's going to talk about those ways and those thoughts. How they're not his ways and they're not his thoughts. And he's going to then exhort us to change our ways and our thoughts. So look at that. Verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, a lot of times people look at this passage and they say, oh, God is so much greater than we are. See, his thoughts are beyond our thoughts. His ways are beyond our ways. That's not what this passage is teaching. Now, that's true, but there's other passages that teach that, like Ephesians chapter 3 at the end of the chapter, where Paul says, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. That passage teaches the supremacy of God's ways and thoughts, yes. That they're above our ways, they're beyond our ways, and superior to our ways. This passage is not saying that per se. What it's saying is this: your ways and your thoughts are sinful. And you need to change your ways and your thoughts to conform to the Lord's ways and thoughts. You need to make the Lord's ways and the Lord's thoughts and your ways. That's what this passage is saying here. And we need to understand that. The Lord is calling us to live like Him. The Lord is calling us to think like He thinks. How does He do that? In the person of Jesus, the Messiah. By giving us His example, by giving us His pattern, by giving Jesus life, a life of sacrifice, a life of love, a life of giving. That's the life we're to follow. That's the thoughts we are to have within our mind. His ways, His thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Why is that? Because man's thoughts are evil and sinful, and God's thoughts and ways are good and holy. That's why they're higher. Doesn't have anything to do with God thinking thoughts that we don't know. It has to do with God thinking the right thoughts and we thinking the wrong thoughts. That's what this verse is really about. And so this is all about repentance here. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, Jeremiah says. It is not in man that walks to direct his own steps, Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. And that's why we need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding. In all of our ways acknowledge Him and He will direct our steps. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 25. Repentance. Let's make the Lord's thoughts our thoughts. Let's make the Lord's ways our ways by repenting. But then finally, in this passage, Isaiah 55, we have a message of trust. Now listen to this. This is so beautiful, a description here. Listen to this description. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be, the Lord says. Oh, we love rain in Texas in the summer, don't we? We do. I love snow in the wintertime. It's wonderful, but it never goes back up, does it? It never goes back up like it comes down. The rain comes down and it waters the earth. The snow comes down and it gives life to the earth. But you never see snow going back up. And you never see raindrops going back up. They have a purpose. Their purpose is to water the earth, to keep the soil moist, to keep the soil fed. Why? Because that's the basis of all life, right? Those who are in the agricultural business know that very well. The basis of all life is the soil. You take care of the soil so that you can have good fodder for the animals, so that you can have good vegetables for the people, and all the other wonderful things that come out of the soil. And who gives the soil what it needs? The Lord God does. It accomplishes His purposes. And God says this, my word is like that rain. It comes down and it does the job that needs to be done. You can trust in it. You can trust in it to do the job that God has given it to do. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God's word is never void. God's word is never empty. It's never given in vain. It always accomplishes what God wants it to accomplish. What does that mean? It means we can trust in the Word of God. We can bank on the Word of God. We can put our faith in the Word of God. We can act on the Word of God. Why? Because when we act on the Word of God, we're going to accomplish God's will. That's what this passage is telling us. And we need to act on the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 23. Well, God will then bring great prosperity when we follow His Word, when we put our trust in it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. In the Messiah's kingdom, there's going to be joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Philippians 4 and verse 4. In the Messiah's kingdom, there's going to be peace. Philippians 4 and verses 6 and 7. Be anxious in nothing, but in everything, through prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your lives. Peace of God. There's going to be peace. There's going to be life in the Messiah's message. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, I am come that they may have life and they might have it more abundantly. He gives life. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands. What is that a picture of? It's a picture of life. Of course, this isn't a literal description. It's a metaphor, right? Maybe if you've ever seen one of the old cartoons, black and white cartoons, where the trees are waving back and forth and singing, and the hills are out there singing, and everything around is alive, you know. That's the picture that God is giving to us here. It's a picture of great prosperity, a great blessing, joy, peace, love, all of that. That's the message. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Healthy growth instead of unhealthy. The thorn and the briar, that's unhealthy. The cypress and the myrtle, that's healthy. God gives the increase. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 6 and 7. And then notice here at the end, who gets the credit? It's the Lord. It's the Lord who gets the credit. God's ways will be recognized. And how does He get the credit? Through the fame of the cross. The everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The cross of Jesus Christ. There's the everlasting sign. There's the promise of the everlasting covenant. That sign is still with us today. And God forbid that we should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom Paul says, the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Galatians 6 and verse 14. The message of the Messiah. It's a message of invitation. Come, eat, drink, live, hear the word of God, believe it. It's a message of repentance. Change your ways. Make God's thoughts your thoughts. Make His ways your ways. It's a message of trust. Believe in the Messiah. Put your faith in Him. His word will mean something. You can bank on it. You can trust in it. You can act on it. And today, you can become a child of God by obeying the message of Jesus Christ to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And yes, God will forgive you. And you can know that you've been forgiven of your sins when you obey. Why? Because the Lord's word that goes forth from His mouth will not return to Him void. It will accomplish what He pleases. And it pleases Him to forgive. Do you need to respond to the Lord's invitation tonight? To the message of the Messiah? To hear and to repent and to trust. Why not come to Him tonight? Be a child of God. Believe in the Messiah. Believe in Jesus. And give yourself to Him. Maybe you need the prayers of the church this evening to go back to the great blessings that are found in the people of the Messiah. Those blessings are yours. We just need to lay hold on them by living according to His will each and every day. Maybe you need help doing that. We're here to pray with you and for you so that you can have those blessings of joy and peace and love and life in your life today. Whatever your need may be, we invite you now to come and make that need known while we stand and sing this song of invitation.